you very much for joining us today. This is Dr. David Damster. He is Bucks County Health Department's director. I appreciate you here updating us today. I'll just go right into it, if you don't mind. I know that there have been, in Bucks County, more than 1,200 COVID exposures. And as of last night, there were 41 deaths. Is there anything else that you'd like to update us, at least on the numbers?
Yeah, by the time the day is over, we will have more than 1,300 cases of COVID. We did have multiple deaths today, and several of whom were elderly in long-term care facilities. And we'll have a total number at the end of the day today. So the deaths will be approaching 50 before today's over.
Of those exposures, what percentage of them are first responders and healthcare workers?
I would say earlier on in the disease, we weren't seeing as many first responders and healthcare workers, but now it has shifted strikingly so to I would say that between 2/3 and 3/4 of our cases are healthcare workers, first responders, medical providers. And if you include nursing home residents and other long-term care facilities, I would say 90% of our cases now are either healthcare workers or residents of congregate living facilities.
Or how many deaths have we seen from these occupations, these high-risk occupations?
There's been no deaths because of the occupation. We did have, unfortunately, we had one firefighter who did pass away a little while ago. So he did have some underlying conditions. It's very difficult to know whether he got that as a firefighter versus, you know, community spread, because when he got it, there's a lot of community spread. But from what we can tell, we haven't had any first responders, you know, get it and pass away from, you know, being in the line of duty at this point.
Like you mentioned, many of the cases are coming from nursing homes. Can we get any more detail on where this is happening in the county? And I'll give you a little context with this question, because I know that, you know, I'm trying to give people a sense of how residents are supposed to know if they are at a place where there are multiple cases, so they or their loved ones can make decisions.
Yeah, most the nursing homes that we're aware of, there's over 30 facilities in Bucks County. That number grows a little bit each day, that have outbreaks either in staff, residents, or both. And we encourage family members from each of those facilities to contact that facility directly and ask them for the status of their family members. Now, remember, some facilities can't speak to anybody but the power of attorney for that resident. So if you're not the power of attorney for that resident, I would not advise calling. They can't give information out. However, if you want to get more information, have the power of attorney for that resident, contact that facility and specifically ask questions about what's going on in the facility, what treatment's being given that that resident. And you have to remember, too, in some facilities, and we're actually advising this, if let's say there's a unit of 10 patients, for instance, and they've already had one or two positives in that unit and other people have symptoms, they're all considered to be, you know, COVID presumed or COVID probables. So they may not test every resident of every nursing home. And we're trying to preserve the testing ability that we have. We have this limited numbers of test kits still. And so once there's been multiple cases on a specific wing or however they partition that facility, we are considering that whole, everyone symptomatic on that unit to be COVID probables. The power of attorney is the person who is handling the finances and the medical decision-making for that resident if they are incapable of doing it themselves. And many of our nursing home residents are not capable of doing it themselves. That's why they're in a home. And there's a member of the family or their attorney, whoever it may be, but the power of attorney is the POA who has the decision-making capability. They're the ones who are able to get this information over the phone such that, because the nursing home can't just give it out to anyone on the phone. It's got to be a specific person in order to maintain HIPAA and the privacy of the patient's records.
Right. And at some point, will that kind of information be publicly available?
At this point, we are just giving the numbers of nursing homes that have issues. Eventually, depending on what happens, we may give additional numbers of the total number of cases in nursing homes, those kinds of things. But at this point, we're not planning on making the locations themselves public knowledge.
But there are a lot of grocery store workers who are who are being exposed. And have you seen, are you seeing a sharp increase there as well?
Yeah, we have seen some cases in grocery stores, places like, you know, the large box Lowe's, Home Depot, Target, any place that has a lot of people still coming in on a regular basis. You know, there's high touch areas where people can infected people could theoretically be coming to those stores. It has gotten better recently because I think that these stores are starting to give out masks to employees. They're giving gloves if necessary. They are having hand wipes available. So I think if done correctly, they can still prevent the majority of spread in those kinds of jobs. But yeah, we are seeing positives in essential workers, not just healthcare workers and other similar things like that. But we are seeing a few cases in stores that must be open, and they have to continue to be open for us to get our essential goods. So, but we have seen a little bit of improvement on that front over the last week or so.
Right. No, that's something, yeah, I've witnessed too. I've seen the face shields and I've seen a lot more face masks. And I'm glad you brought the masks up because I know there's some confusion over whether it's guidance or required.
At this point, the governor's, it's still strong guidance to wear masks in those stores. But it is up to the individual business. If they decide that they want everyone to wear masks in their store, they can say you can't come in this building without a mask. But as of right now, it is just strongly encouraged. It is not a mandate that everyone wear a mask when they go out in public.
What's the latest on testing? Are more people able to get testing even without some of the more strict criteria that was apparent in the beginning of this?
Yeah, I mean, overall, the hospitals themselves, if you have a doctor's prescription from a doctor in that network, if you're a Doylestown hospital, you have a Doylestown physician, if you go to Jefferson and you have a Jefferson physician, and St. Mary's, you know, you can still get tested. But again, we are telling people, and I've been saying this for a couple of weeks now, if you have very minor symptoms, if you have your loss of taste and smell, and you're pretty sure you have coronavirus, there's no reason to leave your house. You know, to get tested because you probably have it at this point. We don't really have a lot of flu circulating. We don't have as many of the other viruses circulating. We're not saying you can't get tested, and we're certainly not saying that you shouldn't go to the emergency room or talk to your primary if you feel strongly, if you have symptoms that are bad. But, you know, there's definitely no reason to rush out for a test at this point, given how widespread it is. You know, we have almost 1,300 cases, but I would wager that there's 10 times more than that in the community, if not more. So it's clearly out there. It's not the same as it was back when we only had 10 cases. And you know, there's if you go out in the public when you're sick, you shouldn't go out at all if you're sick, unless you need medical attention. And I think doctors are also encouraging their patients, hey, stay home. If doing a test isn't going to change your management, and it won't, because if you have a mild cold, stuffy nose, a little bit of a cough, if you're not really short of breath, if you're not really having any of the symptoms, getting tested won't do you very much. They won't do you very much good. Now, if you're a healthcare provider, if you're an essential worker, where being at your job does make a difference, those are people that we are encouraging to potentially get tested if you need to, you know, in order so you don't go back to your job sick. But if you have a job that you can work from home, that you don't need to go anywhere, the testing is clearly not necessary. There's still a little bit of an issue with the kits themselves, the nasal swabs. There's still a little bit of a shortage of those. So even as far as we are into this process, it's still not anyone get tested whenever they want to. That's just not, it's not the case yet, but it is easier to get a test today clearly than it was a few weeks ago.
I know you mentioned the signs of COVID and we're aware of the signs of COVID, but what are the signs that would trigger us to go to the emergency room or to call the doctor?
Biggest thing are very high fevers, shortness of breath. You know, shortness of breath, that's what actually ends up making people really sick and being on ventilators and oxygen. It's the shortness of breath that people need to be concerned about. Now, if you're minorly short of breath, if it feels a little funny, your chest is a little tight, I'm not really talking about that. I'm talking about when you actually start to get short of breath, noticeably short of breath, you shouldn't hesitate. You call your doctor. Go to the emergency room, do what you need to do. But the shortness of breath is the number one symptom that we're most cautious about, because it's that shortness of breath means you're not getting enough oxygen to your body, and that's why you're short of breath. So We encourage those people to certainly be more cognizant of that symptom. But if you just have a mild fever, stuffy nose, even if you lose your taste and smell, you know, you have coronavirus, maybe some body aches, you can self-manage those with Tylenol or ibuprofen and stay home. But the shortness of breath is the one piece that we want people to pay close attention to.
Okay. And I know that those tests are in short supply, but there's an antibody test, and where is that on the radar? I know that's kind of thinking ahead of the game here, but are those tests available in Bucks, or when will they be available in Bucks County, and what will that mean to have those tests that could possibly, you know, check for antibodies?
Yeah, the antibody, it's an interesting question. We've ordered some. We haven't gotten any yet. We're hoping to get some soon, but they come with a lot of caveats. Number one, they're not, the CDC has no guidelines in place for their use. So the CDC is not recommending their use at this time. However, there are some situations where they could be helpful. Getting a negative result with these antibody tests means absolutely nothing. You could have coronavirus. You may have had it. You may not have had it. The negative predictive value, it's called, is very, very low. However, on the flip side, if you get a positive result on the antibody test, it's very, very specific. But it's very, very highly likely that you have or had coronavirus. So that's why I want people to, if they're used correctly and they're used in the right situation, a positive result can be very strong and very powerful. But if you have a negative result, it really means nothing at this point. And you can't say anything, yay or nay, with a positive result. Excuse me, with a negative result. Only the positive result means anything. So we're trying to order some because there's some situations where it might help to get people back to work. But the CDC, as of right now, has not recommended their use or even given any guidance for their use. But I do believe that that will be coming in the near future. And I support their use as long as people follow the caveats and the very specific situations where they can be helpful.
And I understand that the turnaround time is much quicker for those tests. Is that correct?
Yeah, those tests are finger prick tests, the finger blood tests. So they can be done the same way as, we can do HIV tests the same way now with a finger prick. Another test like that for, is hemoglobin. There's other things that you can do tests for at a point of care. They're called point of care tests because they're done right there in the doctor's office. And those will become more and more, I think you'll see more of those antibody tests coming out in the very near future. But again, we're still very early, and the CDC has not yet recommended their use in any kind of major situation, because even a positive result would require, they're still asking, I think, to be confirmed with a PCR nasal swab that we normally do.
Any other, whether it's a larger testing facility or another outside hospital, what could we expect to see over the next couple of weeks?
Well, we're hoping that nothing additional is needed. You know, the Newtown Athletic Center, the NAC, the county put out a release, and they're working on getting that set up now. And that's only for hospital overflow patients, of people who are, pretty stable, but they maybe need one or two more days in the hospital, and that'll be somewhere where we can send patients if necessary. But right now, the overall numbers of people going to the ER are down, but the numbers of coronavirus patients are a much higher percentage of the patients at the hospitals than you would think. So there's not a lot of people going to the ER, but the people that do go are of a much higher likelihood of being coronavirus positive. So the hospitals, as of today, are managing to keep those numbers in check and don't require a surge facility. But those numbers could change. As I said earlier, there's a lot of cases in nursing homes and places like that it wouldn't take a whole lot of cases from one nursing home to potentially give a hospital some issues. And we're hoping that's not the case. But as of today, the hospitals, even though they're busy for COVID, they are seeming to manage the current situation.
Right. I think I read in yesterday's update that they're not at full capacity right now. They're not really at half capacity right now. But I guess you guys are still preparing for what could be a surge.
Yeah, and again, I don't think the surge at this point is going to be from the general public. The surge is going to be from both healthcare providers and long-term care or congregate living facilities. That's where the cases have moved into. And of course, if there's ever, if the economy changes and they reopen businesses, we may have a small upsurge of cases. It's hard to know. But the NAC is in place just in case we need it. And as it's been said before, it's better to have it in place and not need it than need it and not have it in place.
And what are your thoughts? You mentioned about, you know, some the talk about the economy opening up. What are your thoughts on that right now?
I think it's really important that we see that the social distancing is definitely working. That's why we've seen this change of community spread moving more towards the assisted living facilities and the long-term care and the jail. But we also have to realize, too, that at some point our society has to reopen again. And I think everyone knows that. You know, we can't have this, the current situation can't go on for six more months or another year. So something has to be done. But I think there's a way to do it in sort of a stepwise fashion, a really smart way, where, you know, we continue all the same strict strategies at nursing homes and long-term care facilities and places that have higher risk. And that if any places that reopen in a stepwise fashion need to be done in a way where we continue to wear masks, we continue to keep people 6 feet apart from each other, we have hand washing or hand sanitizer availability. And I do believe that people, having gone through this, have sort of changed their ways, at least for now. You know, who knows in 5 years people will forget all this, but I would say in the near future, people have definitely changed the way they do things. I've seen people, when they get gas now, after they get gas, they run and put hand sanitizer on because they touch the gas pump, and things that people weren't doing until recently. So I think that if everyone is smart, if everyone continues to follow the social distancing and the hand washing and all the typical hygiene things that we always say but people weren't doing, if people actually do those things and we slowly open up certain stores, certain businesses, I think it can be done successfully, but we got to be careful. And I don't think you can just flip the switch and say everything's back on. I think that would be a mistake. It has to be done in a way that makes sense for the businesses and for the public health of our society.
And is there any other major concerns that you have or that you would like to share with the public from your perspective? I mean, you're in the trenches, you're reporting these numbers every day. I don't envy this job. What are some concerns that are still out there? And then maybe we can talk about some encouraging signs.
Yeah, I would say the concerns are we're not sure what's going to happen once we do the things that I just mentioned about, you know, reopening slowly or stepwise. We're just not sure how much of that disease is going to make it back out into the public. We know a decent number of people in Bucks County have been infected. We know that people, even if they weren't tested, we knew they had the disease. So we don't really know the baseline of the numbers of people that have the disease, you know, and there's some studies that need to be done soon, hopefully. And you mentioned the antibody test. If we can get that antibody test done on maybe donated blood and just get sort of a general societal uptake of what percentage of people were infected and now would be immune. No one really knows what's going to happen when we reopen things to a degree. And I'm also a little concerned about the fact that the nursing homes and long-term care facilities that are now getting a lot of the cases, we're hoping that people can make it through and don't become, you know, very, very ill to the point where they don't make it. And so right now we're seeing, we're right in that cusp of that to see, hopefully people will, because I mean, the death rate of this disease is not 100%. Even in 90-year-old people, the death rate is not 100%. It's obviously much lower than that. So whether it's 5% or 10% or less, you know, we're still going to have a continued number of deaths. And I want people to realize we're not seeing those deaths in just random, you know, by going to the grocery store, your risk of getting coronavirus is less. And if you do get it, your risk of dying is much less than what you might be seeing on CNN or on the TV or whatever the situation is. That I want people to be cognizant of the risks, but not overblow them, not to panic, not to do anything, you know, outrageous when it comes to protecting themselves.
And how about encouraging signs? I know we're all kind of searching for some hope and encouraging signs right now in the midst of all of this.
Well, I can clearly tell you that the overall numbers of cases, you know, today, you know, we may have 70 or 80 cases, which seems like it's an increased number from yesterday. But if you look at the numbers of cases we got today, most of them are from a mass testing in long-term care facilities. We're still not seeing a lot of community spread. So the risk of you getting it at Giant today is much less than it was a month ago. No question about it. And I say Giant, I mean any grocery store. I don't mean to call Giant out, obviously, but there are grocery stores that popped into my head. Or going to any other store that's open. So I think, again, the stores are taking it seriously. The people are taking it seriously, and we're seeing it clearly in the numbers. So I think we're on the starting on the downslope of the numbers of cases. But we have to continue our caution and our social distancing to maintain that. So I think the idea is, I think we can start to be a little bit optimistic. I guess cautiously optimistic would be the best way of saying it. And as we slowly do things over the next several weeks to reopen the economy and businesses, let's all make sure that we don't forget everything that we just went through. And to continue doing all the sanitary things and the social isolation as much as social distancing as much as possible, in a stepwise manner. And I think that way we can all get through this as safe as possible.
Well, thank you so much for your time. I know you have to go, but I appreciate you making time to answer our questions. And I wish you the best. And I hope you stay safe and well.
Thank you. You as well. I appreciate it.